This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott, and our show today is about love and lust. If you're in the mood for either, a like-minded person is probably just a click or a swipe away on a dating or hookup app. And here comes the mood killer. These easy connections have recently been blamed for a rise in sexually transmitted diseases. For example, recent data shows syphilis cases among men increased by 10% between 2012 and 2013. How do public health people keep up with all of this when the technology is changing all the time? Joining us now is Dan Wolfiler. He's a researcher at the University of California, San Francisco. Dan has been working on HIV and STD prevention since the late 80s. His research focuses on gay men, but what he is learning about technology applies across the board. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
What's your take? Are hookup apps to blame for rises in STD rates?
Apps certainly have a lot to do with STDs, but they can be both a force in favor of transmission and they can also be a force in favor of prevention. Sites can make it a lot more efficient to find a partner. You don't have to wait till a weekend. You don't have to, you know, go to a party or a bar to find a partner. And instead of being 4 or 5 degrees of separation away from someone with an STD, you can be only 2 or 3 degrees away. So we know that gay men and certainly some heterosexuals, but not as many, who have syphilis, when we interview them, they report meeting partners online. But we also know that it's not nearly as strong a predictor of being infected with an STD as, say, using methamphetamines.
You mentioned the sites could be a force for prevention. How so?
In injury control, they put banks in the curves of freeways to keep people safe so that they don't hurt themselves or others. They don't spin off the freeway as they're driving fast. And so the challenge is, how do we build a safer online freeway where people are going to meet new partners? And that takes a lot of different strategies. One thing that obviously the sites can do is get information out there incredibly efficiently and incredibly quickly and much more efficiently, say, and at a much lower cost than putting up billboards or bus shelters or broadcasting a message. So we've been working with the owners of a lot of the sites and apps to get information out to their customers. And as an example, for the last World AIDS Day on December 1st, we worked with them and they were able to drive 30,000 people to the CDC's directory of where to get tested by putting banner ads up. The sites have really demonstrated their willingness and they really want to work with us. So being able to search, for example, for a partner to see if they're interested in also having safe sex and using condoms is really useful from a public health point of view. And it was something that most of the owners said, we're willing to do that.
Would it be possible to really personalize little messages? Let's say I have opted, you know, to meet somebody, and let's say I've previously opted that, oh, I don't like to use condoms. And then maybe I'll get a little pop-up message that says, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Or do you know that not using a condom means, you know, your chances of getting X is this much higher? Could you really make this a very personal thing?
You know, we found out something interesting when it came to asking people if they want reminders to get tested. And the original strategy we had was, wouldn't it be great if one of the sites or one of the apps would send out a message every 3 months or every 6 months to get tested? And when we asked guys about it, they weren't very excited about it. And when we said, what if you could control the interval so they could say, we want to get that message every 3 months, we want to get it every 6 months, or someone who's even more sexually active and has a lot of partners might want to get that message even more frequently. And that idea had a lot of support. And for us, the message was, if the technology comes across as sending out spam, people aren't going to want it. But if they feel that they have control and they're essentially leveraging that technology to help themselves, they'll be much more likely to use it. The trick is to give people the power over the technology to get what they want. I think one of the most important areas of agreement between the sites and the users and public health is that we all know that guys are on there to meet partners. They're not on there typically to get education. And so what we need to do is figure out how can we help them make really informed choices about their partners in addition to getting messages.
Dan, what's the next big thing public health people are thinking about? Where does your message need to go next? Any ideas?
One, it's really important that we go where the people are. And if people are moving to a new technology, we need to go. We need to respect their privacy. We need to respect the fact that they're probably not there to get information from us, but that they want to meet new partners. And we need to work with them to figure out how to do that safely.
Dan, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you very much.
Dan Wolfiler is a researcher at the University of California, San Francisco, and he has been working on HIV and STD prevention since the 1980s.